what that means to me is that we need to be, and we are in the process of doing a lot of unlearning. And it's important to me because the research that I've been doing for the past 2 years, which involves being a teacher in a community of learners, meant that I needed to unlearn everything that I have ever learned as a teacher. And that's because I found myself in a community of voices, student voices, and these individuals were writing as human beings, not as students, and therefore their writing was interesting. They stopped caring about marks. Marks were not the most important thing to them. They knew that their marks would improve if they took the time to engage and to respond as human beings and therefore improve as writers. And I needed to unlearn and become a contributor, not a facilitator. That's a cliche, I think, that we often hear in this in regards to what is happening in education. And we feel, and we hear this this phrase all the time, that the teachers have to become facilitators. Facilitators still have a lot of control, just like people who moderate. My experience tells me that we need to acquire new voices, and we need to acquire voices as readers, as contributors, and not as teachers, because teacherly voices don't always work very well in this environment. And it's a very challenging, very difficult step to take. It is a process. It took me personally over a year to learn to respond to students and to contribute in this community as a learner and as a contributor, as opposed to contributing as a teacher. And so I think that's one of the things that we probably should be thinking about. This new idea of coming together as a group of individuals with very diverse voices and talking about things that are of interest to us. And one embodiment of that is, of course, the unconference. But in a classroom, it can also manifest itself in this process of unlearning and learning a new role and learning to use a new voice, which, as I mentioned, is a difficult process. So that's what I'm interested in, and that's what I've been working on, creating communities of learners and thinking about how that affects the instructor.
Can you give an example of what you had to unlearn?
Oh, well, of course. One of the, I'll just describe briefly how the community is set up. Every single student has his or her own individual blog, and where they post entries about either the focus of or the curriculum, let's use a traditional term, or things that are of interest to them. And of course, their classmates often comment on whatever it is that their peers write on their blogs. And I noticed that whenever I commented on student work, my voice would always be very evaluative. It was always very authoritative. It was always very, very much a teacher's voice. I was the one who would evaluate the response. And of course, there were many supportive and encouraging remarks. But mixed in, there was always this sense that I was really evaluating. And that's something I had to unlearn. And it's been a difficult process, because I think we become almost conditioned to do that. We get used to the fact that we are looked upon as experts, and therefore it is our job to correct, convey information, and then correct. And of course, the challenging part is to learn how to forget that role and acquire a new one.
And what was the new one? If you weren't evaluating or correcting or giving advice, what were you doing?
I was reading. And for the very first time as a teacher, I actually read my students' work. And it's been an incredibly empowering experience. And I know it sounds ironic, it sounds funny, but I realized that I spent years correcting student work, making sure that it measured up to a specific set of standards. And in many cases, I used a screenshot, a scanned image of an essay that I corrected years ago, and it's covered in all kinds of corrections and changes and suggestions to the point that it becomes unreadable by the student. And of course, the student receives that essay, looks at the grade, and throws the essay into the garbage bin on his way out of the classroom. What I learned was that I needed to start responding as a reader, as someone who was interested in reading what my students had to say as human beings, not as students, not as people who are responding to a prompt or a set of questions, but as people with ideas, with thoughts, with biases and all kinds of opinions. And I spent a lot of time reading, but it was reading that I enjoyed. It was reading that helped me get to know my students as human beings. And I think it was probably the biggest challenge. Of course, there were many other challenges in this community, but I found it to be extremely rewarding, very time-consuming, of course, because the more empowered my students became, the more they started to write. But it also allowed me to connect with them on a very different level and therefore help empower them as writers. So that probably was the most inspiring, difficult thing to do.
I can relate to that entirely. I also had students start blogs, and I started making comments on that. And at one point, I found myself writing, okay, after the comments, yes, but you've got one missing article and one verb's not quite there. And I suddenly thought, God, do I want to be doing this? But I should be doing something. How should I be doing reflection or whatever? You know, so although I think I'm starting to unlearn, but I'm going to need to learn things too, what to do instead.
And I think the biggest challenge in your case, being English as a second language instructors, is that you still have a wealth of very tangible skills and information to convey. Mm-hmm. And it's very different from what I'm used to, because my students and I spent over 3 months talking about social justice and human rights abuses and current human rights abuses. And I did not have to say to them, oh, by the way, we have to mention Rwanda. We have to talk about Rwanda. I didn't feel the need to say that. I was free to rely on them to find whatever resources, whatever information they were interested in, and treat them as independent researchers. Now, of course, in the field of second language acquisition, the challenge is that there are still very specific, very important skills that need to be acquired. And you could even argue that it would be irresponsible to create a community where everyone contributes, but where no one takes the responsibility to say, I need to talk to this person about past perfect, or I need to talk to this person about articles. I think it's still important. It's very important, but I think we need to start by giving them their voice back. Because they all have voices, they all have stories to tell us, and in your case, I'm sure you have many adult learners in your classrooms, and they have already learned many things. They have already acquired a wealth of experience, and it's important to validate those voices, I think, first, and then once the students feel empowered and validated, then it probably would be a good time to start correcting. And I hesitate to even call it correcting. I would say it's mentoring more than correcting. It's sitting down with a student and saying, I just read your entry on whatever, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic, but you probably should work on clarity. Here's one thing you can do. And so instead of saying, yes, but you forgot to use articles correctly or whatever the case may be, I think it's important to acknowledge them as individuals, as people with voices, and then say, let's work on the clarity of what you're writing, because you have a lot to offer, and here's how we can make it even better than it already is. Mm-hmm.